application to what we've heard this morning as it deals with the wrath of God, and that just because you were saved, and Greg was sharing with me after the service, and some things which I wish the Holy Spirit had shared with me before Greg did, but, you know, I guess he got to Greg before he got to me. I don't know. It's easy to do that about Moses, who was a man of God, who pretty much did what God told him to do all the way through. I mean, he was a great man of God. God loved Moses, and Moses was indeed a man who was really concerned about the glory of God. But because of one incident in his life as a Christian, we can use that word, I think, because it may have been a different time, but he was nonetheless, you can see him in heaven because he believed in God, as did Abraham. But because he failed to sanctify God, both him and Aaron were forbidden to go to the promised land. One mistake is all it takes, and yet it's amazing how footloose and fancy-free we get as Christians with this whole idea of our lives are supposed to be, by His desire and certainly by design, and it should be our desire as well, to make sure that our lives are lives that really glorify Him. And we ought to glorify Him. We're to sanctify Him, and that was what the problem was. He failed to sanctify God before the people. And when he was told to speak to the rock rather than to strike the rock. And so, folks, we are to sanctify the Lord by the way we live our lives before a lost world. Amen. So we look at number four, personalizing and personal application. Father, we pray that you'll guide and direct as we finish off this morning's message and just basically introduce a challenge for this new year. Lord, we may indeed, as we begin to face the remainder of this year, and Lord, it seemed like there's going to be a long road to hoe as we go out through this year. But Lord, regardless of who's in the White House or who's in the governor's office here, Father, we can still be your children. We can act like the children of the King. And Lord, may we desire that this year and not let any obstacles get in our way. And Lord, we want to come out to the other side of 2021, rather, knowing that we indeed have sanctified you as we ought to as the children of the Lord. So Father, won't you guide and direct in this message, remainder of this message today in Jesus' name. Amen. So our willingness or our reluctance, if you will, to think, to study, to meditate upon the wrath of God. There are those who are reluctant, and there are those who are willing. But, you know, we've got to guard that, and so we don't get lost in the shuffle throughout the busy schedules that we've got there. So there should be a willingness to set aside a time that we are going to spend to meditate, to study, and to think on the things of the Lord. And even get in the habit of thinking before we react. It's amazing when you're going through various scenarios in your head, that if you just take your time, the Spirit of God has an opportunity to grab, to engage our mind before we engage our mouth. It would be a lot easier if you do it that way. But it will give us, if we fail or are reluctant to think and to study and meditate upon the Word of God, then we're not going to have a complete understanding of God. And if you don't completely understand God as He has given to us through His Word about Himself, then you can't serve Him in the way that God would have you to serve Him. But it's true, it is a true test of how our hearts are actually affected towards the Lord our God. And that is if we desire to learn all we can learn about Him so that we can be the best possible representative. Now I know that Dave, he works for TwinCraft, and you're out and about on the road, you're going out there and you're representing not just only TwinCraft, but you represent the Lord, aren't you? So no matter where you go, whether you're on the flight or in flight or on the ground or talking with different people there, there is that expectation. So, and of course, he wants to be a good representative for TwinCraft because they're going to buy the product, whether it's on the phone or whether it's actually in a face-to-face meeting there. And it shouldn't be any really different for you and I that whether it's our jobs or whether, but above and beyond, it should be with the Lord that we want to be the best representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go out and about. So if we can't rejoice in all that God is, in all His perfections, then how does the love of God dwell in us? And that's a great question. What is the byproduct of loving God? We have it the other way around, that God's fortunate to have us as His children. And I'm saying, well, that's not true, but sometimes we think that way, that what would God do if I wasn't a Christian today? Well, He'd probably do better in some cases, but you get the point. The idea is here that all that God is, how are you going to be able to really, truly glorify Him or sanctify Him if you don't really know who He is? Now, just knowing God, G-O-D, as a word, or maybe understand that He is a person, that He created the heavens and the earth, that's a little bit. God has a whole book full of things He wants us to know about Him as well. And the more we know about Him, the better we're going to be able to sanctify Him. Great will be our rejoicing in that day when the Lord shall vindicate His majesty before a lost and a dying world. His awful dominion, magnify His justice and overthrow the prideful rebellious who dare to defy Him. Listen, we have a world today that is literally defying. At least our founding fathers had a respect for the fact that there was a divine being. Now, whether they believed in that divine being in the same way that the Scriptures would have had them to do so, we're living in a generation here today where we're seeing elected officials all around the world there who have no respect whatsoever for God. And so they defy Him. And that's why we have same-sex marriages today. That's why we have abortion, the millions of babies being killed every year around the world. And you could go on and we could go on and we could go on because they dare to defy God. But that's all going to come home and they're going to have to face that issue in a very terrible way. Moses and the people greatly magnified the power of God over the Egyptians and in the Red Sea. Amen. We were to look in Moses' song. Moses' song was all about Moses and the people magnifying, glorifying God as they stood on that other shore, on the other side of the Red Sea, and they looked in there back over where they had just crossed and watched those walls of water come tumbling in on them and kill Pharaoh and a vast number of his soldiers there. Moses broke out in song, glorifying God. Now, we don't have to go through that kind of a thing in order to be able to glorify God. It should be a result of being in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and really seeing God. Look, even looking at some of the incidences in people's lives, we can be thankful that, man, have you ever looked at it and said, well, I'm glad I'm not that guy. Aren't you glad you weren't Cain? And aren't you glad you weren't some of these other characters in the Bible, either ladies or guys that God had to really deal with over the issue there? So there's many things in which to glorify God, but at the same time we get to see the majesty and the terror of God as well as His grace. Miriam's song also in Exodus chapter 15 verses 20 through 21, she also broke out after Moses had sung. Well, we concluded that this morning with Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, flee, the last part of that verse 7 was as John the Baptist spoke to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he said, flee from the wrath to come. And so, in other words, they were going to face some serious repercussions for their lack of serving God and glorifying God and sanctifying God through their service. And so, as it applies to the saved and the unsaved, for the unsaved, this is your opportunity to flee to Christ, accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life, or otherwise you're going to face the terror of God. I'd rather face the love and the benevolent nature of God through the cross than I would I'd have to face Him at the great white throne judgment. But for the redeemed, never lose the awe of God. Never, ever lose the awe of God or of God's overall majesty and might, and that our disobedience grieves His heart and it disappoints in disappointments. Now, I got to thinking a little bit from time to time when I look at that is we all remember the Wizard of Oz that hid behind the big building back there, and big terrible voice, and the lion and Dorothy and the Tin Man, they were all scared to death. They were falling back over the big, loud, booming voice and come back there, and there's one of this little guy there. But listen, they were afraid. We have someone who is larger than we could possibly imagine, more powerful than anything we could ever imagine, who has more grace and love and compassion and benevolence than we could possibly ever imagine. And folks, when we come to the Bible or the Scripture, we ought to walk away just in awe of a God who cared about you or me as an individual. Imagine that. That God that we're going to spend eternity with someday. We're going to see Him. Well, I think maybe some people are going to be more surprised than anything else. The rest who have been in the Word of God, seeing who God is based on the Scriptures, we may not be nearly as surprised. Amen? So it's up to you however you want to be surprised. I don't want to be surprised. I want to know Him now, and I want to know Him so that getting into eternity, it won't be a big surprise. So, question is, are you ready tonight? Are you ready? I know my wife's looking at a watch here. Okay, you're going to quit this pretty soon. You used to go and take a nap anyway, so what's the difference? So, that's all some of the others are going to do. But some have a long drive, I understand that. But are you ready to face 2021? And I got to thinking more about that as I had just briefly mentioned this morning, and that is that, what if 2020 was our preparation for 2021. And it would be by any stretch of the imagination, but even more so when we look at, and I'm not looking to, that Trump was somehow going to be the savior, because he wasn't. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But we did have a better under him than we've had under any other previous administrations. And, of course, our worst fears came to be because, I don't know, some would say it was God's will and God's sovereign, and he puts in, and well, he does. He raises up whom he will, and he puts down whom he will along the way there. But who knows what this next administration is going to be like. We have somewhat of an inkling based on past experiences with them and their past experiences in public life. We probably have an idea of what we can expect to some degree. But, and again, if we didn't take advantage of 2020, then you're going to have a rough time in 2021. Amen. So it's not one of those things where we have to try to get ourselves all straightened out real quick now because we're facing some things that we couldn't begin to imagine. But 2 Timothy, very quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but just to challenge us this year to see if you're ready to face this year. And I'm not just only talking about, are you ready? I think there used to be some lyrics in a song that said, are you ready? How's that go? Remember?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Yeah, there we go. We're going to sing that before we leave here today. Okay. We tend to do that around here. But are you ready? That's a wonderful question. But are you ready to meet this year? And I would think that we would be, and we should be for sure. 2 Timothy chapter 4, just looking at verses. We're just going to jump down to verse 7. And the Apostle Paul, speaking to his spiritual son Timothy, said, I have fought a good fight. Question is, are you fighting a good fight today? Are you just kind of bumping along and hoping that maybe tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday and that somehow next week is going to be better than this week or whatever it might be there? But Paul is saying, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Listen, I don't think you have to be somewhat full of yourself to be able to make that statement. He knew what he was before he got saved. He knew what he was like before the Damascus Road experience. And he also knows how he had lived his Christian life. He knew how he had served the Lord. And he came to the realization that prior to his salvation, he wasn't fighting a good... He thought he was. But once he came to know Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior, then he understood that as he served the Lord and he gave everything he had to the Lord, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And folks, we may find ourselves having to go to that portion of Scripture quite often during this year, 2025. I don't know, but if we do, we do. But here we are. We're in 2021. So if you didn't take 2020 to help yourself get prepared for this next year or whatever the election outcome might have been, then you've lost some ground. You could have gained it, but you've lost it. So just a few days into this new year of 2021 and closing out the old and bringing in the new, it is that time of year when I believe many folks reflect over this last year's events in our lives. Some of those reflections have brought forth disappointments, I'm sure. Things that you may have said, I've committed myself to, such as I wanted to read my Bible more. I want to spend more time studying my Bible. I want to spend more time in prayer. I wanted to give up more tracts. And all these things that we may, and I'm not saying we should pass resolutions, but we should do these things just simply as a responsibility as Christians and as believers. But some with delight have looked over this last year, and they have brought forth some exciting reflections of victories, areas that you wrestle with, things that you struggled with. And this year, you saw ample time to be in the Word of God, to be able to pray, to be able to meditate, and you finally have gotten some victory over some of those things that you were really just struggling with in your life. And it is that time of year when we make those resolutions, purposing to visit some of those failures and defeats and prayerfully turn them into victories, maybe in this year of 2021. And so, or we could be like this one elderly gentleman who offered this New Year's prayer. And he says, Dear Lord, I haven't lost my temper and I haven't been grumpy, greedy or nasty or selfish or self-indulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from that point on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. So, we could be like that. We kind of live in a safeguarded area. of our lives. And of course, it's always easy to be godly in church, isn't it? Amen. Try to be godly in your neighborhood. Try to be godly in the workplace. That's a different story. But in that text, the Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. And Paul warns Timothy of the difficulties that he is going to face as a believer and a minister of the gospel of Christ. And 2021 may be the most difficult year that any of us preachers or missionaries or evangelists have ever seen. Whether it's like Daniel's parents who were in Mexico. They're still in Mexico, right? So down in Mexico or any of the missionaries that we support, whether it's in the Philippines or Portugal or Spain or Brazil, it's going to get more difficult. It was somewhat more difficult during this year of 2020, having to wear a mask and have to do social distance and all of this. And some countries were a lot worse than other countries and more demanding than others, same with states and so on. But it can get worse. And it's going to get worse, no doubt, as we get closer to the end times. So it will be frustrating. It can be discouraging, even to the point of brokenheartedness, as we see there back in Timothy chapter 4 and looking in verses 3 and 4. And it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We live in a day and age that's not... Listen, church is not even enduring sound doctrine. What churches that once used to be really great churches... They're not walking in sound doctrine. They've decided that, well, you know what? If we're going to grow, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that. Growth comes by the Lord. And if it's going to come by the Lord, it's going to come by those of God's people doing what God wants them to do. Realize that for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so it's going to be frustrating. And it is. Listen, I've been in the ministry now for 41 years. I've known preachers and so on. Brother Jim has known them. Preachers have been in the ministry 50 years and so on. And they're saying that they have never seen times quite unprecedented like today. It's just tough. I think Ron, what would you say? You sit in your right place, would you? Brother Ron was saying that coming here to Vermont and going door to door, it's pretty wicked. They don't want to hear what you got to say. They're you go down to Battery Park down there, and it was Brother Glenn Russell saying they're ready to fight you. They didn't want to hear what you had to say. They're ready to go fist to fist with you from time to time down there. So it's going to be more difficult, I think, as the further this nation gets away from God. It's the pattern that's established. But nonetheless, Paul challenges young Timothy, not so much about the difficulties as it is, as he says there in, to preach the gospel. We are to, I'm looking at Titus, there's something making sense to me there, so I better get back to Timothy. And he says, in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he's telling Timothy, listen, you've got to step up the plate. This is what I've done. You've seen me. You've worked with me. I've prayed for you. I've mentored you along the way here. Now, listen, I'm about ready to go home to be with the Lord, but I need you to step up to the plate and so on here. So he's telling Timothy, preach the word. Why would you preach anything else other than the word? Because nothing else can change hearts like the word can change. So preach the word. He says, be instant in season and out. That's why we need to be in the word of God, so we can be ready. The Holy Spirit can speak to us instantly. How many times do you walk away from someone and say, man, oh, I wish I'd said this. And I wish I'd, you know, have you ever done that before? Well, you know what? That may happen regardless, but the idea is that we need to really be in the word of God so that we can be ready in season and out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. But another thing he says is reprove, rebuke, exhort. And he said, do so with endurance. Don't back down from the word of God. If you're preaching the word of God, you're teaching the word of God, and you're standing where the word of God is, don't let anybody push you off that position. Stand firm in the faith. Amen. Long suffering is the idea is to bear with it and to bear with the doctrine and realize that nothing is more important in our lives than to stand where God would have us to stand. So the Apostle Paul was at this time giving a reminder to his spiritual son Timothy what the ministry is about. Now, I use the expression a lot of times in premarital counseling. I said, listen, marriage is about... Everybody said, oh, I don't remember. What was it all about? Marriage is about ministry. Amen? It is about God leading you into the path of an individual who you're going to want to delight to minister. It's not about what you're going to get out of it, but what you're going to put into it to minister. As men, you bring spiritual leadership and guidance and direction. Not that the wife is not capable, but the idea that God's going to have to hold somebody accountable, man, so you better be prepared for that accountability. Amen? You can't turn around and say, you can't pull an atom on God when you stand before the beam. You say, well, God, it was you and her. You gave me her, and she messed things up. Now, that's not going to work. God's not going to, he didn't accept it then. He's not going to accept it now either. Amen? But you better know the leadership that you're providing. And what better way to learn what that leadership is about than being in the Word of God. Amen? Men, you need to strive in the Word of God to find what God has for you and the way that you can be the kind of husband. Lectures around here to some of these young people about that's what it's all about. And why is you to minister into your husband's lives as well? That's what ministry is about. Friendships are about being able to minister into another person's life. Bring something biblically scriptural. I'm not saying you have to preach in their face, but the idea that by being in your presence and as opportunity avails itself, that you're actually able to share the Word of God or share something that could be a real powerful experience. Bible college students should be praying one for another. Parishioners should be praying one for another. Families praying for another family and this family and that family and so on. But the Apostle Paul was at this time giving a reminder, but also having learned from personal experience. Being able to share with others, not necessarily in a lecturing way, but being able to sit down and talk with your sons and your daughters or maybe other young people as you guys work with young people along the way, to share from your personal experiences. Not boasting on how maybe what was in your backslidden days, but you know, just thinking, I'm glad I wasn't back in those days, and say, but what a difference now that we have resurrendered our lives to the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, in all humility, knowing his life here is about to be over, reflecting over his years of service to the Lord, and with a clear conscience, he states this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there isn't anything more important that in that particular process, you're going to be separated from the world and separated unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to stand out. Listen, when we listen, you can lose a year's testimony in just one fit of rage or something like whatever it's going to be. I ate too much lasagna for lunch today. But the idea is that in light of this verse, are you ready? Are you really ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the year 2021? Are you prepared for this? Three truths that will bring you peace of heart at the end of 2021. And as well, when we face Hebrews 9:27, where is it appointed unto man once to die after this, the judgment? And I'm just going to mention them to you. Number one, there's a fight ahead of us. It's somehow seemingly easier to fight those battles that are external to us, such battles as the unrighteousness of the unrighteous. It's always things that are easier to find a fault in someone else's life, looking at the unsaved and looking at our legislators. They just don't know any better. The unsaved legislators just don't know any better. They're making decisions based on worldly wisdom, a flawed worldly system of wisdom out there. And so we ought not be surprised when we hear them say or do the things that would be indicative of an unsaved person. Or those who will legislate unrighteousness, as Israel predicted would come about from folks would call. Or Isaiah said, Isaiah, good, they called evil good and good evil. They gave light for darkness. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, 21. And they give bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's the kind of world we live in. We want to set the record straight. We want to give light for light. We want to give sweetness for sweetness and so on there. But the world doesn't want to do that. They want to just kind of flip things around. And they're doing just that. And, well, we should fight. Stand uncompromisingly against any and all sin. All that is unrighteous as God defines it. Not as you and I define it, but as God defines it. That's why we need to be in the Word of God, discovering what God determines is unrighteous and which is unholy, and stay away from that stuff and pray for those who are involved in that kind of stuff, and then show them how the right way to live in God's prescribed will. So the Apostle Paul, looking back over his Christian life, was able to face his impending death with peace because of how he lived his life before the Lord our God. I wonder how many Christians face death today. Not so much in a fear of the way we're going to die, but the fact that we're going to stand literally before the Lord. If you've been fighting a good fight, you won't have that fear of facing the Lord and realizing that whether you're going to breathe your last breath or otherwise. So he said, I have fought a good fight. And in this fight, this battle, this struggle that he addresses was first and foremost within his desire. Remember the struggle he had in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25? He said, the things that I would, the things that I don't do, and the things I don't want, you know how that goes. So fight a good fight, bringing your thoughts and your actions, your reactions under subjection so that your life and your lip are in sync with each other and God's Word. That's so important that our life is in sync with the Word of God. And then very quickly here, the finish. He said, I finished my course. God has given us a course to run. Within God's purpose and God's plan, you and I... Now, in some instances, that course is very generic, to you and I. It's the same, but God may have... Listen, my race is going to be a little bit different than your race, being called a pastor. I've got different responsibilities, I've got different accountabilities, so along the line here. But nonetheless, we all have that which is common for us to be running in this particular race on the course. For all believers, there are similarities in our course, that which is basic to all of us, as individuals. And by this I mean that God leads us all into various vocations, for He desires to have the very best examples of godliness in high places as well as in the low places. So whether it's at Twincraft, or whether it's at the hospital, or whether it's for the rocket company out there in New Mexico, I can't remember the name of the company that you work for out there, or whatever it might be, with sin, especially where Greg has his own business, and Steve down there at down here in Winooski, don't tell me it's Needle Pinson.
Biotech.
I didn't complete about biotech, but we're all to be witnesses in all those places. We are to put on a... They should know who we are as individuals. Now, you say, well, if I did that, it would cost me my job. Do you really want a job which would fire you for just being who you are as a child of God? As long as you're not taking 8 hours a day and preaching to everybody that comes by your desk or by whatever it is that you work along the way. But God will provide opportunities. Amen. And so there are many, many principles, and there are many precepts by which we are to live out our lives given to us in the Word of God that God expects. He gave them there, not just because He wanted to take up space in the book, but because He wants us to live by those things. And so the idea of finish, the Apostle Paul is acknowledging that his life, his influences, the work of the Lord has called him to do is drawing to a close. And all of our ministries will come to... Mine will come to a close someday in some way. I have no idea how. But I want to be able to say, like the Apostle Paul did, I have fought a good fight. I have run a good race. I've kept the faith. So I cannot go back, nor could Paul, and do it over again. But unlike so many who have wasted their lives as believers, being controlled by their flesh and wanting the ignorance, there is little, if any, peace when they have to face their Hebrews 9:27. Now, people have said about the pandemic, he said, I'm ready to face my Hebrews 9:27. I'm going to die someday, and I want to make sure that if I'm going to die, that it was God's will, and it was God's timing, and I've done what I was supposed to do in the meantime. And this is wonderful, expressed in Paul's dilemma in Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. We'll just take a look at that, and we're almost done. You got to love the book of Philippians, amen? It's a powerful book. Philippians chapter 1, looking at verses 19, and it says there, for I know this, I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait, betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Amen. Well, what a blessing when you can face life that way, that whether in this life or the life to come. If you've lived for the Lord, there's no fear here. There's no fear there as well. And also note Paul's confidence brought through the peace that he held because of a life not simply lived well, but lived by the dictates of Scriptures. Only those who have lived well for the Lord, lived biblically, will have such a peace when they face death. and when that time and that moment comes. And so the faith. He said, I've kept the faith. This statement is not merely an expression. That is, the Apostle Paul is facing his impending death. It is about a lifetime of testing, or trusting rather, God, believing God, obeying the Word of God. It's a lifetime of living our lives according to the book. It is a statement that exceeds and it includes. It's not a statement that includes cherry picking the Word of God to fit the life that you want to live. Rather, it is a living the life that God calls each of us to live and using God's precepts and His principles to guide us in that life of what to do, of what not to do. The way to be it should be done and the way it should not be done is all included. So, folks, God has given us His Word, not so that we can ignore it, but use it as a compass to guide us through the fallen world of darkness. And we're in a fallen world of darkness, and we do need a compass, amen, through the enemy's camp, because we are in the enemy's camp, and come out the other side when all is said and done, so that we can say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And in all seriousness, I don't believe that nearly as many believers will be able to say this or have this sense of peace about their Christian life when death approaches. Some Christians don't even crack their Bibles. They don't even pick them up. They may pick them up, bring them to church. And the only time it will be open is when the preacher says, turn to such and such a page. You and I can be among those who will be able to do so, as did the Apostle Paul. I have run a good race. I fought a good fight. I have run a good race. I have kept the faith. We can say that. Now, it's not impossible. Else God would not expect it nor given it to you and I this means to do so. Study, that is discipline, obedience, love for the Lord, out of necessity, and so on. So, are you going to face this year? Well, you know, it's kind of hard to scramble and realize, okay, I'm here already. We're ready to go into 2021. I keep saying 2025, I don't know why. But I'm looking for these next 4 years to be well over and done. But in 2021, it's here. If you weren't wisely using 2020, you've got some scrambling to do. You've got some work to do. The rest who took advantage of it, you're going to hit the ground running, and you'll be ready. But either way, know that the Word of God is our sure compass to get us through whatever comes down the pike in 2021. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time we can be together this afternoon. Just a quick challenge for this new year, Lord. What a thrill it is to have. Knowing the Apostle Paul through the Scriptures, Lord, knowing his failures of the past, but as a Christian, how, Lord, his life was completely turned around. Lord, how his desire according to the flesh was one way, then once he got saved, it was now a desire according to the Spirit. And Lord, may we walk in the Spirit, may we live in the Spirit, may we live in the power and the presence of the Spirit as we go through 2021. Lord, again, as often as the phrase is used, we have no idea. This may be one of the most tumultuous years Christians have ever faced. And Lord, it may not be anywhere near that. But Lord, may we be the best representatives. Lord, may we be the best ambassadors. May we be the best representatives of the kingdom of God as we go throughout this year of 2021. And Lord, may you be able to use us in ways that will not only just glorify yourself, but bring many to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for the babies in Christ, that it may be an opportunity for us to be able to mentor and to guide and to instruct them so that they also might become mature. And Lord, maybe this year will provide many opportunities just for that. And so, Father, you guide and you direct, and Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds accordingly. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Communion time, here, real quick. If you didn't get, as I saw Clark was giving.